Welcome to Come and See, your podcast for finding truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. With host and founder, Richard Case, and co-host and retreat leader, Kathy Riccone. Today is our special guest day, where we will hear from a friend in the ministry who will share their insight and stories on truth in this chaotic world. And now your host, Richard Case.
Well, good morning, everybody. This is Guest Thursday, and Kathy, we have a good friend that's been on before, and Dominic DeLuca. Where are you located right now?
I'm in southeastern Massachusetts, right on the Rhode Island border. I could probably walk to Pawtucket, Rhode Island from my house.
So. Okay. Mm-hmm. Have you lived there a long time?
I lived in this area, general area, my whole life, since I was 8, really. So we grew up in the town next door, worked in Attleboro where my office is. I lived the next town over, so yeah, been there.
Do you visit like Newport much and go down there and Nantucket and all those kind of things? And
well, it's funny, Nantucket, we used to visit quite often because my daughter used to work there.
Wow.
And it wasn't as glamorous as you think. She was in service and food service, and they just treat people like dirt, you know?
Yeah.
She got to meet a lot of celebrities, some of which were nice and some of which weren't so nice. Yeah. And I won't name any that weren't nice because, you know, they might be New England Patriots. But
I bet that you and her have a lot of stories, right?
We do. We have some stories. She actually just got married and moved off the island and is now living in our house, which is great. We have her and her husband there. But yeah, go to Newport once in a while. Not that often other than for a C12 event. Actually, it's probably the only time I go. But
we've got one of those
congested.
Coming up soon, right?
We do, a big one. We do.
What's the plans for your daughter and her husband? What kind of work are they doing, and what's the plans for them?
So they were in, they worked at a meat market, in a high-end meat market in Nantucket. So they got a lot of high-end people. But their plan is to get situated job-wise. They both have jobs now. She's working at a distributor for HVAC equipment, and he's working for a company that maintains solar panel fields in New England. So they're trying to get enough money, get enough confidence that the job is secure so they can pay the bills.
Yeah. My first real job, I was a senior in high school, played golf. I was at a country club, was a golfer, played golf with my dad, and he was a surgeon and his friends. And one of his friends owned an HVAC distributing company. And he came to me and said, "You like mathematics, right?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, there's this new thing called a computer." "Hey, would you learn? I'll send you to IBM school, and we'll learn how to program, and you can, you know, put our systems in over your college career, you know." And so he paid me a lot of money, sent me to school. I learned computers, and I learned what I really learned is the HVAC business. Is like, what does it look like? How does it work from beginning to end? You know, so it's kind of funny that your daughter's working for one of them right now. It's kind of fun.
Yeah, and people think we sell HVAC equipment. We don't. It's actually, it's sort of an insult. Sell industrial control systems. We hang anywhere from 1,000 to 3,000 centigrade. So that probably, you don't want those temperatures in your house.
Probably not, no.
Right.
Either direction.
Right.
Well, Dominic, we've had you on, and you've shared, you know, what it meant to abide and discern God's will. So basically, we just wanted to have you back as a catch-up. And kind of bring us up to date as to, you know, what you're doing, what decisions are you facing, how have you walked with God, and how have you seen God at work in your life? So anywhere you want to start with that, we'd love to start, and we'll just go where God takes us.
Okay, yeah. So it's been an incredible journey, and kind of a restart on years ago. We were very Holy Spirit-led and driven, and as the church model changed over the year, they kind of, I may have even said on the last one, we kind of put the Holy Spirit on the shelf. And this abiding actually augmented what we're doing as a Christian. It's just been an incredible time, an incredible discipline process, whatever you want to term it as. But I've been very successful, my wife and I, with 5 days a week, probably average. There's a couple days that here and there that we don't get to it, but because we're older too, we wake up early. It makes it really easy. I'm not sure if I slept till 7 o'clock if I'd be saying that. But
does that mean you go to bed earlier than normal then too, or a little bit? Or?
Yeah, we go to bed at 8. Well, sometimes we're sitting and looking at the clock at 7, saying we have to stay up another hour. I mean, There's something about going to bed at before eight that just seems like it's ungodly. But so yes, yes. So yeah. So it has been an incredible. I mean, the amount of, I'd say, wisdom, the amount of input that I've gotten, that's impacted every relationship, impacted my company, jobs, impacted my. There's some stuff that I'm relearning, that just interpretations that were absolutely wrong. Now maybe they're just my interpretation of. It's not necessarily. You know, like I might share one a little bit. It doesn't have to be your interpretation, but the Lord just spoke to me through it. And at the end of the day, those interpretations caused me, I believe, to know Jesus more and treat people more like Jesus. So it's been an incredible journey. I also have seen, I know we've talked about multiplication, and I've had the honor and blessing to be able to do a retreat with you, your team up there, and share it with a group. That turned out, you know, incredible. They had a meeting a couple of weeks ago where they had people come out and he set up 20 chairs, and I went, boy, you're optimistic. And it was like 26 people there. So,
whoa.
And you know, you had new people, because he literally every day, every Sunday morning, mentions the word abiding. Well, he's become a big time abider. He abides about everything, shares it with his church. And out of that, there's beautiful. Some multiplication. There's one guy in particular, become a friend of mine, who's really high up in the military, and he's going to be sent away shortly, and he's an abider, and he could make decisions that are impactful for the world. So that's just incredible to see that go out. Another friend speaks all over the world. He works for John Maxwell. Abiding has supplemented his. He's always been a man of God, but it supplemented his arsenal, if you would, of contacting God. And he's speaking to military people all over the world as well, in South America. Mm. So it's just incredible to see forwarding that one podcast that I did with you 2 years ago has multiplied by, well, if you want to count how many people these guys are interfacing, thousands, wow. if not hundreds of thousands. So
that's amazing.
That's incredible.
So that's kind of the essence of the covenant, isn't blessed to be a blessing and receive and give it away.
Yeah.
As you've been, abiding, what kind of specifically has God been speaking into your life in the last month or two? What things is he showing you?
Well, recently in the last month or two, are you ready for whatever comes your way? I loved your podcast a few weeks ago about the election. It doesn't really matter. I shared that on one Sunday morning before I went into a song as I led worship. Really, at the end of the day, God is still God, regardless of who comes from the White House, and kind of preparing me for. I mean, I think there's going to be turmoil either way. I feel that. And what am I going to do to represent Jesus in that? Am I going to hide my basement, or am I going to go out and share the gospel? And how does that look? And what do I say? And am I going to hoard my food in the freezer, or am I going to be ready to share it with my neighbors? The Lord's just speaking to me about that right now. Because there's no guarantee. You look at some of the most devout Christians in the world, and they're being persecuted in China and places like that. So there's no guarantee that we can't see that. One of my abiding things was on the Lord's Prayer a while back, and I'm still chewing on that. And specifically in the section of forgive us our sins, debts, or trespasses, there seems to be three words there that are used, and there's some theological debate and wrestling over what words. But the Lord showed me something, because I got to a point where people, every day I'm going to forgive others of their sins, but nobody's sinning. I mean, what is a sin to me by another person? It just seemed like there had to be more than this for him to say that, if we're doing it every day. And it brought me to a study of the words there. And the word trespass to me just stuck out. And I realized through abiding and through the Holy Spirit that, you know, to trespass is to infringe on someone's space. And the Lord showed me that, you know, I'm being offended because people infringe on my space, probably because I have too much space marked out with no trespass on it, right?
Good. That's why.
So I need to bring my space in to where I'm not being offended, because we get offended and we love people less because they might leave our church, or they might do something that it's not a sin, certainly not a sin, but it impacts my love to them. And the Lord showed me that that's why he can't forgive me my sin, because it's actually a sin to love people less because of their infractions. Mm-hmm. You can't clean the deck of your sin if you're still sinning because you haven't released it. So my prayer has been to do a checklist every day. Who's ticked me off? Who have I wanted to yell at and all that, and just release it. But also to search the boundaries of where I have those trespass marks, because they shouldn't be there, period. Another thing that happened within, I was meditating on a bike ride a few weeks ago, and there's a new stop sign that they put. And I always get a little nervous about new stop signs because people don't know they're there.
Yeah.
And we blasted right through where we were supposed to. And I was thinking, I've always joked, yeah, we have the right of way until a guy hits us. And then we may have been right, but we're dead.
Yeah.
And the Lord brought me right to my righteousness versus his and said, it's not about being right. It's about what God says. And while it had nothing to do with me going through that stop sign, it was a really good analogy to me or thought. So that's been really been chewing on that for a while and you know, pretty much weekly.
Yeah. As you describe those two, which are beautiful, when you use the word, I'm chewing on it, processing, which means implying that you didn't just read it and say, fine, right. you did something with it. Talk about that. What does that mean to you that you're chewing on it? What does that look like? And why is that so significant? And what does that do for you? That's what abiding's all about. It's just walking with God as he starts right. to help you understand something. So you describe it because I think you use a word that we a lot of us use. We chew on stuff, but what does that really mean?
Well, I guess as you're saying that, I'm thinking meditate on the Lord day and night. And it's just a process of meditating on his laws both day and night, meditating on what he tells us, not just put it in a drawer and say, next, which is probably what I did a lot of my Christian life, is read it and forget it. But it's meditating on it and then getting fresh stuff from it the longer I meditate on it.
Yeah.
So then it's sharing it and saying it out loud to people and having them say, well, you're crazy or that's not it or not. But and then going back and refining it until it becomes an action. So I meditated, and then it became an action in the way I treat people. It became an action in my ability to forgive people every morning and start over again.
And when you do that day after day, how do you personally do that? Are you talking to God about it? Are you kind of processing what does it mean and asking questions? How do you personally chew on that kind of stuff? Because it does take time, and obviously you're doing something. What are you doing?
Yeah, so maybe in the abiding time, I'll write it as I always write questions and I put a question mark next to it. And sometimes I get an immediate answer and sometimes I don't. But and sometimes he'll answer days later, or I pose it as a question. And like I said, I'd be riding a bike and you have time to think. And instead of thinking about not getting hit by a car or what great day, I'm thinking about this. I'm meditating on this. And so it's just having that. And so the other thing just recently I realized, and I'm going to sound maybe like an idiot on this, but that scripture is I abide in me and I will abide in you. And I've always talked to people about how we need to abide in Christ. But when that happens, Christ is abiding in us too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's where I think the disconnect is, where do I have to go back to my prayer to answer this question? No, he's with you all day long. And it's setting yourself up that Christ is there. And because he's there and I'm abiding in him and he's in me, these thoughts come during times of where there's just not a lot going on or like before I go to sleep or... You know, they do occur during the abiding process, you know, during the time I set aside in the morning, but they'll show up random times. And some of that is just the Holy Spirit saying, okay, I got your attention. You're about to go through a stop sign. Pay attention.
So. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's what we're trying to help people understand. It's he's abiding in you and he'll give you thoughts, ideas, creative, interesting things anytime. As you're walking in the Spirit, there's two things, and you kind of mentioned it. Is first of all, you recognize something that this is something from God. That's a recognition of it. But when you receive that, what do you do with those thoughts? How do you then take those thoughts and do something with it so it actually matters, as opposed to, that's a nice thought, but nothing ever happens with it? How do you actually then process that further?
So I generally, hopefully I remember it. That's the beauty of journaling in the morning. Right?
Yeah.
But the big ones, I do remember, and I bring them to my journal and I start processing them through writing. And the other thing I started doing was I have this software called Asana in my business, and it's my to-do list. And it's on the iPad that I use for my abiding. And the Lord said, you need to start abiding on your to-do list. Well, some of the things the Lord tells me to do in my abiding time actually end up in my to-do list. And that's, if they get there, they get done. It may be as simple as recently it was introduce this person to another person from a job, for a business point of view. And I found out, this was a couple of months ago, I found out last week that it's potentially a huge opportunity for him.
Wow.
And I didn't know. I just, okay, God, I'll do it. So it's things like that that come through. And that was definitely an abiding comment, abiding word from God.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you also mentioned that part of your processing thoughts and abiding information from God, you actually talk to somebody else about that. You share it out. Talk about that process when you start to share something with somebody else. What's the benefit of that? How does that work? Where does that lead you to? That is an important piece, I think, of the life of God is, hey, you're in community and I need you to share things that actually helps you.
Yeah, so some of them I've shared with others, my wife, a pastor friend, a good friend. Sometimes it's there's pushback, like, well, that's not the only way to look at it, and that's fair.
Yeah.
And I realize that's not the only way to look at it. You could look at it wrong if you want, but actually, God, my next story will be talking about that exact thing, actually, what God showed me about that comment. But I'm joking 100%. There's good, because I'll take that and chew on it. Sometimes it's, I don't know if I say just, you know, passed on, and sometimes it goes into a conversation and maybe, it becomes a word of wisdom or for someone else. A lot of times in C12 meetings, some of this will pop up. Not that I go there intending it, but that will, my response to the team members, it will be a response to something I had abided on either shortly thereafter or had remembered.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. And that's, it's interesting. You kind of put two and two together here that, you talked about trespass and boundary, and then you share that and people say, well, I don't agree with you, or I'm going to do something different. God says to us, well, that's no problem. You don't need to set up a boundary and determine right. whether they're with you or not. You shared the truth and they got to process that. And then you're not offended and you don't have to deal with it. So it's kind of interesting what God is, you know, putting all that together for you. Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful. And as you said, you share with your wife, as a couple, how do you spend time together just processing what God's saying? And then we'll get into next time we want to talk about God's will and discerning God's will. But how does that work as a couple?
There have been some things that we have really connected on, and then some things where it's not, it's not like there's a lack of connection. It's just in the busyness of life.
Yep.
That is probably one of the most need improvement parts of this. We both get up. She abides in the bedroom. I abide in the living room. And then life starts when we're done. We try to connect, but it has been a little, you know, a little tricky to connect. And the times we have has been really good. Lately, she's been a little more proactive in bringing it up. And that's great, because I'm like, why did we spend, you know, watching this and we could have been doing this?
So yeah,
that is something we definitely need to address or pursue a little more.
Yeah. One of the ways we could do that is just periodically, at least we recommend once a week, couples purposely do that and just say, hey, what God's saying to you, and then just keep processing. So it'd be good. And is it difficult having your children, your daughter and now son-in-law live with you? Is that difficult at all? Or?
No, it's in a way it's nice. In a great way, it's nice, because part of our story is the restoration that has happened with our children to mm-hmm. us. The daughter that's living with us now was a major part of that restoration. So it obviously is a God thing. We have to drive 200 miles north to get to go to our half-size condo to get some alone time, but we'll take that. But yeah, they're great. And I have knee surgery coming up. I can hardly do anything. It's really nice having her husband, who is just very helpful, big, strong guy. And that's really nice too. So
yeah. Yeah,
I don't know if you knew this or not, but Dan and I were actually empty nesters for 4 days when we sent our youngest daughter to college. And then my oldest son and his wife moved back in with us for about a year and a half, and then moved out this past February. And Rich has his son and his wife, Shara, and then had his grandkids living with them for the last little while, too.
Yep.
So we understand the dynamics of what you're talking about. And there is such a blessing, though, right, in having that time with them, even though it takes some other things that you need to navigate. Okay, what does it look like to have your own time and space? But it's a sweet blessing, right?
Yep. Some of the inconveniences are just stupid. You know, again, it comes back to that trespass, that boundary. Like, it's okay to have to pause the movie when they want to talk to you. I mean, what's wrong with that?
Right. You know?
So that's on me, not them.
Yeah. And by the way, when they want to talk to you, they want to talk to you now. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's,
but try to pause the movie on when they're watching it.
Yeah. That's right. Doesn't quite work. Dom, thank you so much for all this beautiful insight about what it looks like. And it's very helpful for our audience. And we want to come back. back for part two. And let's discuss knee and other stories you've got here as you're facing some things right now. How are you approaching that? And you're to be a great example of, in a sense, adversity, because there's pain, it's pain and difficult and problematic, and you could get pretty mad about this, or you could do it a different way. And I know you're doing it a different way, and we'd like to hear about it. So, Father, we thank you for Dom's beautiful expression of what does it mean to walk with you, and the beauty of that, the privilege of that. We're so excited of the multiplication that has occurred, and all he did is just say, I'm willing to share it, and all of a sudden people are receiving it, and they're in a position where they can really share it in a big way, and that's how beautiful this is, and what a privilege we have to be able to be blessed, to be a blessing, to live in the covenant, and Dom is illustrating that, and we pray over that multiplication, that you'll just continue it on and on and on, and it'll really make impact for what you want to do. We praise you, and we thank you now in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Tom. It was such a pleasure to catch up with you. Look forward to talking some more with you next week. And if you have questions about today's broadcast, send them in to us at questions@abideministries.com. And we look forward to seeing you next time.
Yep, we'll see you then.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Come and See, your podcast for truth in a world of chaos. Brought to you by Living Waters Abide Ministries. Send us your questions and comments, and tune in tomorrow for more answers to your personal questions about living life in God's truth. Remember, God's will is best and none better. His truth brings peace in this world of chaos.